When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
American Glutton Podcast has a Patreon. Do you hate commercials? Well, we've got a Patreon. Do you want bonus episodes? That's on the Patreon. Do you want to hang out and chat in our Discord channel? That's part of the Patreon too. We even have an option where you can leave me voicemails, all on the Patreon. So check it out today, patreon.com/American Glutton. We have a Patreon.
Hi. I'm Ethan Suplee. Welcome to American Glutton. Outside of acting, my two favorite things to do are diet and eat. I have a very complicated relationship with food, and on this podcast, we're going to talk about all of it. Food as entertainment. Food as sport. Food as fuel. I'll talk to experts and the average person, just like you and me.
I hate to ask you to do anything, but if you're enjoying this show, please take a moment to like, subscribe, rate, review, all of the above on whatever app you're getting it from. American Glutton is brought to you by Trifecta. I used to sit and weigh and measure everything out, and I don't do that anymore. You know why I don't do that anymore? Because Trifecta does it for me. All my long, arduous Sunday spent on meal prep, I don't do that anymore because I get a big box of portioned, cooked food every week from them. And I don't have to get overly thoughtful about it. They have taken all that energy and done it for me. Thanks, Trifecta. Today, he needs no introduction. Stavros Halkias is my guest. He is my most favorite returning comedian and possibly America's greatest glutton. He is for sure a national treasure, and I am on the road recording this from my phone. That's why it sounds like shit. But the conversation was recorded with proper gear. So please enjoy. Stavros Halkias.
That's right.
Welcome to the American Glutton Podcast. By the way, you might be our most returning guest.
Fuck yeah, dude.
That's incredible.
I need a little jacket. I need like a championship belt.
Yeah, you're going to get one. I'm going to get one for you. I'm going to have it made up. It's going to just say the world's biggest glutton.
The world's, dude, honestly, I think I could do really well in the real competition. If like bring me in a room full of gluttons, I think I'm finished. I'm not coming away embarrassed, at least.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm making my family proud.
Yeah, strong effort.
Strong effort.
The last time we talked, you were taking time off. You were going to Baltimore.
Yep.
You were starting a regimen.
Yep.
How did that go?
It went great. It was awesome. It was exactly what I needed. The only problem with it was that, you know, it just was cut down too short. Originally, it was like 3 months.
Yeah.
No one talked to me 3 months. And then like, you know, I can't complain because I just got successful. Like,
right.
It was like I had a special that blew up, and my touring got, you know, was going really well, and I was just getting a lot of opportunities, and like, you know, I'm trying to act a little bit here and there. I'm trying to get like you. I'm trying, you know what I mean? I'm trying to get my Ethan on. And so I had a couple opportunities that kind of fucked. I was like 3 months uninterrupted, and that got whittled down to like 6 weeks, you know, which, or 8 weeks, let's say, or like, you know, I was in New York for a little bit. I worked out with my brother, and then I went to New York and tried to stay on the thing, but, you know, I wasn't as good. But still, I dropped like, when I started, I was around 320. And when I ended that little run over a couple months, even though it was back and forth, I got under 300.
That's great.
It was great.
That's great.
More importantly, I hadn't worked out in like a fucking year. So it was like, I was doing like, you know, my brother had me doing exercise. I just had to build back basic fitness. I was doing like the same exercise an old woman does when she breaks her hip.
Yeah.
You know, I was doing like little band pulls and like I was like, in my mind, I'm like, I'm going to come back fucking ripped. And my brother's like, you will die if you try and squat.
It's all going to be in the pool.
Yeah, right? Dude. If he had access to a pool, I would have been like the first workout we did, he didn't even trust me to like fully do squats. He was like, you will squat to the bench. He was like, your knees will fucking pop. But my brother, he's really great at what he does, and he just opened up a gym. I want to shout that out. If anybody's in Maryland, go to Odyssey Strength and Conditioning. And it was an exciting time because he kind of went out on his own. We both kind of did at the same time where I was like, he was working at this gym and he was like, I don't want to work for somebody my whole, you know, I want to like do my own thing. And
is Odyssey Strength and Conditioning his gym?
His gym.
Oh, that's incredible.
His gym. I helped him out with it a little bit because I was like, dude, I don't, you know, I made a little money that year and I was like, I'm too dumb for stocks. So I was like, I'll invest in my little brother. I understand investing in squat racks.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me way more than like, you know, Amazon stock or whatever.
But it also sounds like he's trying to help people long term. He's not like, you know, because I feel like it can be easy to sell somebody like get rich quick schemes in dieting. Like, come in here, we're going to do a bunch of cardio. Yes. You're not going to eat anything. It's going to be miserable. You'll lose all the weight you need to.
100%.
And then you'll be back here every year doing the same thing.
Yes.
You know?
No, Nick, to his credit, my brother Nick, he was always the one that was tamping down my expectations. It wasn't the other way around. It wasn't like, he would push me hard. He would push me and it was like, he was like, if you're not hurt, if you're not injured, even if it sucks, do it. But he was also like, if you lose like a pound a week, that's great. If we lose more, great. But like sustained weight loss, don't overdo it with your diet. He was checking in on my diet and just making sure I wasn't just like starving myself.
Yeah.
You know, he was like making sure I was getting enough protein, all that kind of stuff. Even though he's not a dietitian, he knows, you know, the pitfalls a lot of people fall into. And he's the one who's always like, he's the one who lets me know realistically what I need to do.
Right.
You know, and he's like, you know, I was like, dude, I want fucking huge arms. He was like, you will have to. He was like, the last time you told me this, I was like, I told you what to do. And then you stopped working out for 9 months.
Right.
He was like, you can't do that again.
You won't get huge arms through that. Yeah.
You can't like, you know, do.
But the flip side of that, and I know this from many different points of view, like specifically from the guy who works out, but then has stopped many times, but also like the junkie who's clean for a minute and then goes back to using heroin. Like we have the, or I at least have the over many instances go like, I'm going to start right back where I stopped.
Yes.
And then I hurt myself.
Exactly.
And I can't do it anymore. Or I take way too much drugs.
Yeah. And have a great day and then a horrible 3 years after that.
Yeah.
But that day was pretty sick.
It starts out great. Yeah. Yeah. And same, you're at the gym. Yeah. You're like, I'm so
fucking
strong.
Yoked.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And then the bar collapses onto your chest.
That's actually a great point because what happened last time with my brother is exactly that.
Yeah.
And I tried to go too hard and I had a really nagging forearm injury that I just never allowed to heal, and eventually you just like I went back to touring anyway, and it's like when you're always touring and nutrition is hard, finding a good gym is hard, and you can't even lift, you know, like upper body at all because it was like a really poor, like I went too hard on like a reverse curl and it just completely fucked my whole forearm.
Yeah.
And that's everything is attached to that.
Right.
And so that was a big mistake that I wanted to avoid this time. And I'm going through it right now a little bit because I hurt my wrist actually just a few days ago. And I wasn't going too hard, but I was like, it wasn't that I was overdoing it with the weights. It was that I was overdoing it compared to how healthy I was being because, you know, I was doing 40-pound dumbbell bench press, right? And I was doing that easily when I was sleeping enough, when I was eating the right amount of stuff. But I got back from a weekend in Denver. I did 8 shows. Really fun, but like West Coast time zone, shows late. I'm sleeping like 4 hours a night. I'm eating. It starts out good, but I'm eating a little like shit. And I get home and I'm like, I'm going to do exactly what we're talking about. I'm going to get right back to it. And it was, thankfully, it wasn't catastrophic because my wrist, it's been like 6 days. It's already starting to, I just have done lower body stuff and cardio since then. But I learned my lesson and I'm just going to like, until it's super ready. And then it was even another lesson of like, don't overdo it with the weights. Who cares? This isn't about, you're not going to get fucking jacked in a day.
Right.
You want to make it so that you're still lifting weights every, you know, you're sticking to your program in the year. Yeah. Right. So that was a good lesson. And
that kind of restraint is really, really hard.
It's so hard because I had finally, because it's like you finally get to the point where exercising is a drug.
Right.
You finally replace that.
Yeah.
And now it's like, well, don't do it too much. It's like, come on, motherfucker.
Right. No, I want,
the one
I want
thing
a little
I like
bit.
Doing is fucking
another hit. Yeah.
Pressing and fucking curling. Like, yeah, I was just like, whatever makes me feel good, you know? And it's like, yeah, obviously it's like the fucking meathead shit, but it's like, fuck it, I don't care. That's right. What I want to look
doesn't
like.
Matter.
Doesn't matter. It's better than fucking not doing shit.
Yeah.
And then when you're already in the gym and you're doing that and you're researching like, what's the best way to, you know, and I'm learning more about working out and I'm learning more about it. And that applies to the rest of your, you know, it starts with arms and chest and shit, but it's like, I'm getting interested in back and more shit like that. And it's like, it's the difference between my brother telling me what to do and me having that knowledge. And the more I'm in the gym, the more I'll come through with that. So, but it was, you know, to go back to like the stuff with working out with my brother, it was really good. And he is, you know, your characterization is really good. He's about long term. He trains like sports teams. He trains like young athletes who want to become college athletes who want to go pro. He's trained a couple pros here and there, but he's mostly focused on long term development.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of made the decision that I was like, okay, that's going to be like when I can hit it really hard. And then, so that ended in, I guess, September or August. I don't remember when my first. Maybe late September, maybe late August. I did that for 6-7 weeks, and now it's been like a few months. It's been, yeah, whatever long it's been, 2 months, whatever it's been. And I've been on the road constantly. I've been really busy with like stand up, all this stuff. My lifestyle has not been like, I rented an apartment in Baltimore, and all I was doing was working out, eating right, actually going on walks, writing a little bit, but no stand up because I didn't want anything to even interfere with my sleep schedule the way stand up does.
Yeah.
And now my life has been every possible issue you could think of for health. It's been constant travel across time zones, staying up late, not being able to go to sleep because after you do a show at midnight, you got adrenaline, you're fucking pumped. But I've done a couple things to just kind of, and I decided I'm not going to get healthier during this time frame, but if I can keep my habits up, if I can stay, like, if I can keep working out, if I don't have to build from zero, then I have 2 months off this winter. I'll go do another little stint like that with my brother and then maybe knock off, you know, get a little healthier. And I'm just looking at it as like, this is a 5-year process, realistically.
Yeah, but I hear you. And I just want to say, and again, if I say anything that I shouldn't and
no, no, please,
like, fuck you. You can't out me. You can't say that. But like, you can we talk about...
whatever.
What you're doing right now, how you're not, you're not drinking.
Yes, right? That was the other thing. Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, like, my, and not that you have a problem with alcohol, or I'm not sticking alcoholic like that moniker on you, but just like what we talked about where I go like, oh, that's a big change to what you're accustomed to with touring.
Right. So I guess that goes in on the like, let me not make shit worse.
Right.
Like, this is like, I guess you could call it a maintenance phase, but it's more like a avoid destruction phase. You know, it's like, that's how I look at it.
Yeah.
And so I just, the thing I realized, like, look, I know who I am. I know myself. My diet is going to slip. I'm going to gain a little weight. And that's the truth. It's like, I'm kind of walking around, like, at the end of Baltimore, I was just under 300. I was like 298. And now I'm walking around at like 305, 307, somewhere between there. And I recognize that it's just like, as long as I keep working out and I don't overdo it, my diet will slip a little bit. That's just who I am. I'm gonna start a weekend off really good, and my willpower is gonna fade a little bit. I'll have some fries at the end of it, right? But I decided like to make sure I don't really go crazy, to make sure it just stays there. No booze, no weed, no pills, no mushrooms, none of the good shit. And I love drugs, right? I love doing that shit. Yeah. But I especially weed and booze. I mean, psychedelics, you don't get fucking high on acid and then fucking, you know, eat at 10 ice cream sundaes.
McDonald's.
Yeah. That's never really been an issue. But I just decided it's like harm reduction at this point where it's like fucking boo. If I get drunk as shit, first of all, those are calories, right? Like that's just the calories there. But it's like I'm out late, fucks my sleep up, won't work out. I'm going to eat like shit. I'm going to eat a fucking slice of pizza at night. I'm going to go crazy. Same thing with weed. My excuse was always on the road. It helps me regulate my sleep, and it does. And I'm still trying to figure out how to get my sleep better. I'm still tinkering with little non-drug things, but I just decided if you get high, half the time it helps you go to sleep. Half the time you stay up, I do that little walk to the hotel kiosk. I buy three Haagen-Dazs, little mini fucking things, and I combine them with a Reese's and I mash it up. It's like, you know what I mean?
Incredible,
like, it's great.
Yeah.
It's awesome, but it's like, that's what happens, right? Or I don't get high and maybe I eat two Kind bars. You know what I mean? Like, that's me. Maybe I eat a yogurt and a Kind bar and okay, that's technically over my calories, but let's be real. I'm on the road here. The fact that I'm not getting fucked up eating a fucking whole pea. Like, this is just, I had to come a little bit to grips with, like, this is my life. My life is not changing.
Right.
And as long as I am getting healthier, as long as I, because at the end of the last tour, we talked about it on the last one. I was just, I don't even know if I could have lived another month like that. I was super depressed. I felt bad. You know, I was like 320, probably a little more than that, because I don't know if you ever do this when you're really, you kind of give yourself 2 weeks before you even step on the scale.
For sure.
I don't want to know the actual damage. So I kind of even did. I don't even know what I was actually up to because I was just like, let me just.
Whenever I go on a trip anywhere, I get back and I have like some belief in my head that just flying on an airplane makes me, and I don't think of it as fat developed,
but I think
of it as like retained water.
Yeah.
You know, because shit gets my feet and my hands, my rings tighter. I don't know why that happens to me.
I have a friend who says he can't shit for days after he's on an airplane.
Something happens on a plane.
Everything just comes into you, I think.
So I'll get home and I'll be like, I'm going to be fucking perfect. Because I don't think I have ever been spot on perfect on a trip. There's always something where it's like, but you can mitigate how bad you're doing
exactly.
With the store.
Exactly.
You can avoid destruction.
I've
become good at avoiding destruction.
Yeah. And so that's kind of how I look at things, which is like, I'm being realistic about how my career works and how my job works. And this is different for everybody, right? Like, if you do have a more structured job, it probably is easier to just get into a nice rhythm. You have to make different sacrifices. You have to sacrifice your 2 hours of like watching Netflix after your day job or whatever. But my sacrifice is just like working, like just taking a full month that I could be working and being like, I need a reset a little bit. And I need to like, and look, hopefully, knock on wood, I just get better and better over time and my habits get better and better and the willpower sticks over and over. But for now, I know the way my mind works and I'm just like being a realist and I'm like, hit it really hard when you can find some time off. That's the nice thing. It's like I'm constantly on tour, but then when I'm off, I'm really off. Like I don't have shit to do.
Yeah.
Maybe I have to do a podcast here or there or whatever, but it's like, compared to having a real fucking job or traveling somewhere every weekend, it's off.
It's not hard.
It's not hard. And especially if I can not do stand-up for a couple months because just to keep my sleep schedule correct, because you know how all that shit is so connected, I can really almost look at it like a little health boot camp where I can make some nice strides, get even healthier, get into better shape, and then like go into a period of destruction avoidance. And then like, and I just... I'm tinkering with that right now. You know?
I wanted to ask you because I had this experience and I don't know. Sometimes you just go through stuff and you're like, I threw so much at this that I don't know at the end of the day necessarily 100% what everything was. But I do believe partially that I would go into things and then retain something, right? And go like, okay, I'm not on it right now, but I know this, so that the next time that I go back into it and I'm having trouble, I'm going to hold on to this and just see this through, so that like by the time I got to where I was like going like, okay, I'm now, my schedule, you can hurl a whole bunch of shit at me and I've got a bag full of tricks that right. I can deal with it, and that wasn't just like at one point in time I learned all of them.
Right.
It was a conglomeration of many instances where I was like, oh, that was useful. I'm sure. going to keep that one.
Right.
And the rest I'm going to discard until maybe I need them. But does that make sense?
Fully. And that is a little bit of, I mean, that's all true, but I also find like I go through periods of like it all gets wiped clean.
Sure.
You know, it's like it feels like sometimes I feel like, you know, like it's like medieval times nutrition wise, where it's like they forgot everything the Roman Empire ever did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like that's kind of sometimes I feel like just a serf in England eating like mud for sustenance, you know, when it's like
nobody knew how to write.
Information's getting passed around. Everyone forgot how to read. But that's what I'm trying to stick to, is like that's the thing, is like consistency and just slow progress that is doable is so much better than completely, you know. And it's like, look, it's not like I'm not, what's nice about this is that I don't, like, I cannot wait to get, like, I figured out a way to like, the anticipation is I'm looking forward. Like, my vacation is going home, cooking all my own meals, fucking going to Costco. Literally, I was telling you, I can't wait. I have this, I'm in Florida this weekend. That's why we're hanging out. That's why I'm in the stew, why I'm live. And then I go to Richmond the next weekend. And then I have Vermont December 15th. But I just decided, like, I'm not doing shit between early November and Vermont. I have a whole month, basically, where I'm in New York. I won't be in Baltimore with my brother, but still, I'll be in my house. I have, and that's one thing, right? I don't need my brother like I did to reset me. Yeah. I can. I have a gym near me. I've settled into a little routine there. I know my little, you know, my brother programs and stuff for me, but I can also just like I'm doing a pretty general, just whole body workout 3 times a week because I just know that sometimes it gets disrupted and I'm feeling myself getting stronger. Even though I might be the same weight, my clothes are fitting a little better, like all that stuff, I'm feeling healthier. And so I can't, like, that's what I anticipate is like, because the funny thing is work for me is what a vacation is for other people, where it's like travel to a cool city, get to see, you know, I try and see some stuff. I try and like spend one day getting a feel for the place. I will have a kind of shitty meal that's awesome. It's fun. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so it's like, this is what work is for me. And then like what I can't wait to do is just like be healthy, sleep well, eat well. You know what I mean? And so
you talk about something in your show. And again, if I'm allowed to say anything, the rationalization of like being at a certain place and having to try their thing. And then for some of us, it can become,
of course,
we can justify anything anywhere. You know, like this 7-Eleven have better slushies.
Oh, dude.
And how do you know if you don't find out?
I've gone through that where I'm like, well, they might have different Ben and Jerry's flavors here. And then they don't. But guess what? I still get Ben and Jerry's.
You know what
I mean? It's like,
but there's something true to that, too. Like Cincinnati. Cincinnati has some fucking weird chili that's got chocolate in it, and they put it on spaghetti.
That is
very unique.
Yes.
And like the last time I was in Cincinnati, I didn't eat that and I've regretted it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Totally. And exactly. That's the thing. It's like I'm here. I'm in my first time in Miami. I'll probably have some Cuban food.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but that's why I look at it as, and that's why I just feel like I flipped it in my brain where it's like, yeah, this is, I get to live, my day-to-day life is a vacation for most people.
Right.
But it's, you know, the travel stressful, all that stuff. It's work for me. Don't get me wrong. I'm working on my act. I'm doing that stuff. But lifestyle wise anyway. And that to me is stressful. But, you know, I'll have a nice little, that's what I'm saying is like my will. I almost feel like, it almost feels like the source of my power is my home.
Yeah.
And the more I'm, the further away from it I get, and the more time I spend away from it, the kind of like reverse Superman, right, where it's like if he's on Krypton, he's fucking Superman. But yeah, if he's on Earth, he's like, and that's how I feel with these weekends where it's like day one, I'm great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like fucking salad, you know, whatever. Day two, pretty good still, you know, maybe at breakfast I have potatoes and toast.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, but it's still, I get a side salad. I get, you know, I get a smoothie. I make sure I work out, all that stuff.
You might go for egg whites instead of whole
exactly,
eggs on
egg
day
white,
two. Yeah.
Exactly. And then day three, it's been 3 days of shows. I've worked. I also, like, while I'm away, I treat it. It is work in that I wake up every morning and I write. I write in the mornings. I get breakfast. I work out, nap, prepare for the show for like an hour. So and then the shows happen. You know, I'm on stage a full hour twice. You spend it probably 4 hours at the club. So it's like when you're taking it seriously, it almost does break down to an 8 hour workday.
Yeah.
It's just some of that is writing, some of that is like preparing, and some of that is performing, and then also meet and greets. Because I'm very, like, the people that have come out to see me, I've gotten a lot of new fans, and I'm very appreciative. So I want to like stick around and meet people and shake hands and take pictures. But that also is like, it goes into the amount of hours you are working,
yeah,
you know? And so I do all that shit. And so by the third day, that wears on you. You know, I have a really hard, like I was telling you earlier, I have a really hard time sleeping on the road, because especially if you're going out west and your time is fucked up anyway,
yeah,
and you want to go to bed at 10 o'clock, at midnight Eastern, but it's 9 p.m. and the second show hasn't even started yet.
Right.
So you're already in bedtime mode, and then you're tired as fuck, and then all your adrenaline keeps you up. So now it's fucking 4 a.m. at home, and you're barely going to bed. And then for whatever reason, you still wake up at, now wake up at 9 a.m. Eastern, which is fucking 6 a.m. West. So it's like by day three, I've been beaten down. I just want to go home.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck it. Three eggs, salt, no turkey bacon. Give me real bacon.
Yeah, lots,
you know what
of
I
cheese,
mean? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tater tots. I don't need the,
yes,
baked potato home fries.
And it's like, but, and I say that to my buddy. My buddy Eldest travels with me a lot too, and he's trying to stay healthy too. And I'm like, bro, the last day, order that dessert. But it's like, we kind of, so it's kind of like, because we've been doing, sometimes we're in a city for 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
So if we can hold off till the last day to go buck wild, it kind of is a small victory.
It's,
you know,
a huge victory. I mean, if, like, one day versus five.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And that's the day, like, you know, might get a fucking Cuban sandwich or like go try the thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was in Omaha. I got a nice big steak. You're in fucking steak country. You,
right,
know what I mean? Like Texas, it's like, you know, got to have a fucking a nice little taco,
right,
taco or barbecue or whatever. But it's like, wait till the last day. But yeah. And then when I get home, I feel like I also need a couple days to get back in the zone. And it's like when you, like, this is a tough stretch. October's super busy. But like I said, I'm daydreaming about November 8th or whatever it is, when I'm done that Richmond weekend and I'm home, go to fucking Costco.
But I think this kind of thing, I believe, is applicable to anyone. So like you have a 9-to-5 job.
Right.
And, you know, you've got Monday figured out. But Tuesday fucks you up for whatever,
right,
reason.
Right, right.
Maybe they,
sure,
bring bear claws to the,
yeah,
office on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I think that that's a very normal problem to have, the disruption of a schedule, right? And I would often argue, like, our schedules get way more disrupted.
Sure.
Because we're literally torn out of our life and
100%.
Placed somewhere else with none of the utilities that we're accustomed to.
Right.
But I think it is just a matter of figuring them out, like you've done. Like, okay, I can hold, as long as I get that reward of the last,
yep,
day there, I can hold out for that,
yeah,
last day there.
Exactly. And I work, and the thing that has kept me going is just exercise. That's the thing that I'm just like, even on the road, I figure that. I prioritize that. And look, I know, you know, people, it's funny when it's like, I did workout videos with my brother, and which were fun and really, you know, really great. And he's a great, but we also, he's very funny too, and we have a great dynamic. But it is funny when people are like, dude, it's all the diet. And it's like, I know the diet's important, man, but it's like, what do you want me to do? Like, if the diet's going to be a little fucked, should I not exercise?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, I just know, and believe me, I'm working on it, but it's like, I just do, and just from a feeling better standpoint, exercise is good for you. So it's like, I've just kept that, I'm keeping that going, and it's like, you know, I'm very careful not to get injured, and I just want to, like, I don't want to stop exercising.
Yeah.
I want to keep that habit for the rest of my life in some way or another. And so I've at least prioritized that so that maybe what you were talking about earlier about you pick up something every go round.
Right.
Maybe that's this go round where I'm like, just take the benefits of exercising. Even like I've exercised on days where my diet was bad, but you know what? Fuck it. I want to go lift weights.
100%.
So that at least is sticking around a little bit where I let it go to the wayside last time.
Yeah. I think the guys on the internet who say, or if you're having people say that to you in real life, where it's like, you know, I would understand if the assumption is like, does this guy not know?
Right.
Right. And then it's like, is there a better way to communicate that than bro? It's the guy. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like, fuck you, constantly.
I know.
But like, you know that.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast. Alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Growing up as a kid, my mom would never let us have real cereal. When I say real cereal, I mean the stuff that you'd find at a normal grocery store. My mom would get us the cardboard shavings at the health food store, and I was always miserable with my cereal. And then I would magically go to my friend's house, and they would have real cereal. And I would be so envious, and I would sit and eat bowl after bowl of delicious, frosted goodness, sugary, wonderful stuff. And then I grew up and I was able to buy my own cereal, but that lasted all of 2 minutes because then I started dieting. So cereal left my life entirely. Well, not anymore. Not anymore. Now there's Magic Spoon, which is high protein cereal. My favorite flavor is their peanut butter. It's incredible. Variety pack. Four flavors are cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. This pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Only 140 calories a serving. It's high protein, has 0 grams of sugar, keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, and soy free. It's incredible. Go to magicspoon.com/glutton and grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code GLUTTON at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Remember, start your day off right with a delicious bowl of high-protein cereal at magicspoon.com/glutton and use the code GLUTTON to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. There have been so many studies on exercise being on its own. Like, you don't have to count for anything
right.
else. You smoke cigarettes,
right.
you can do cocaine, like
right.
all the stuff that we consider to be bad for our bodies. You start exercising, it will be a boon to your health.
Right.
You know
right,
what I mean?
Right. Totally.
And people feel better. It's like more efficacious than antidepressants. Like
right,
truly
right. Yeah,
or
yeah.
equal to.
Yeah,
right?
yeah, yeah.
And so like
Yeah, I'm just trying to survive touring, bro. That's what it's coming down to. It's like, I need to be, like, the last year's tour, if it served as anything, was like, I just knew I couldn't live like that.
Yeah.
Even today's a good example, right? Like, today, I didn't get a lot of good sleep. Like, I had an early flight day, and that thing where I was up, I had a late show, up real late, didn't go to bed until, like, 2, 3 a.m. And I got up, you know, I got up at, like, 8, but I stayed in bed, and I had a meeting at 12:30, and part of me was like, tell Ethan you can't work out. Just stay in bed. You need the rest. That's how it starts, just like the rationalizing. And that's what I did on the last tour. It was like, I need the rest. That's what I would tell myself. And this tour, I'm just getting up and saying, fuck it, I'm exercising.
Yeah.
And I'll try and get a nap in if I need to. And that fucking change of like, which, you know, because it's like you start with the rest and then it's just like you make little excuses and it happens. And that small change of just always working out has just made me feel better at these shows. There's no way around it, because like, and I put together a little, like, if people want to see what was going on with the tour, I put together a little mini documentary on my YouTube channel that showed the last two weekends after a fucking 9-month tour, right before I went to work out with my brother. It was called When the Pleasure Stops, because it's called the Prince of Pleasure Tour.
That's awesome.
And I was fucking like, I looked bad. It's just like, and for me, weight loss has never been about looks. Like, I do think people are way too, it's just like, we're very shitty to fat people. You know, I think it's just a thing that people have this superiority complex because our problem is visible.
Yeah.
Whereas like an addict, a drunk, a fucking, you know, a wife beater,
yeah,
you know,
somebody
what I mean?
With like high cholesterol,
whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't, you don't see those, you know, anger problems, all that shit. You don't, you see our issue, but you don't, and people like to feel superior to others. And so when they see an obvious thing that they in their mind deem a negative or a flaw, they just kind of like treat you with less respect. And that's never been to me, I don't even care about how I look, but I just felt so bad, you know?
Yeah, it's so crazy the way that America's going, that soon the thin people will be way outnumbered by the fat people.
the average
will be bigger.
For sure.
And then does it just come down to like the different ways that human bodies wear the American diet? Do
right.
you know what I mean?
Right.
Like some people wear it in the form of high cholesterol.
Right.
Some
people
wear it in the form of excess adipose tissue.
Yeah.
And like those two things can be true at the same time, where it's like these are both products of largely the abundance in America, right?
Yeah.
There's so much food and so little need to move around,
right?
You know,
right? Yeah, no, it's interesting, and I also think it will be like, I do think as that happens, I think like, and you're kind of starting to see it now, like with celebrities, I do think extreme thinness will almost be a status symbol, like. There's like pictures going around like it used to be what was hot for a while was like a curvy woman.
Yeah.
And now it feels like it's going back to like they're going a little 90s like fucking
twig
shit, which is like, you know, and I think I do think that's the thing, because it's like it's abundance, but it's also like abundance of low quality shit. Like America has the capabilities to you know, not have there be food deserts, to people that have access to nutrition, but fucking really powerful like corn growers need those subsidies for high fructose corn syrup and shit like that. And like, I don't know. I mean, not to be on some tinfoil hat shit, but it does feel like having such access to such unhealthy foods is also a method of controlling people.
I have such a wild conspiracy theorist on this that he hasn't really been backed up. And I was challenged recently. Somebody was like, your numbers on starvation during the Great Depression are way off. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
When I did read at one point that there were like 9 to 10 million deaths in America during the Great Depression, which apparently is way off, because when you get into like confirmed cases of starvation, it's very, very low.
Right.
And then some Russian blogger whatever a Russian blogger was 100 years ago.
Right.
Wrote like America's lost 7 million people to this.
Right.
You know, and meanwhile, Russia was really having mass starvation.
It was a propaganda battle between
Russia and
America.
And so who knows? But...
Right.
I do believe that we had, I mean, I know we had bread lines, right?
Sure.
So there was a lot of hunger in America.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there was a lot of poverty. And I think like right before the people were like, fuck this.
Yeah,
we're not doing this
right,
anymore.
Right, 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 right.
America went like, what happens if we subsidize food?
Right.
And nobody's ever, like, we don't ever have to have a bread line again, right?
Right.
And then later, I think it's come down to like, you know, food and like an iPhone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they've realized like we got to give them food. We got to entertain
right,
them. As
right,
long
right.
as that's happening, nobody's really going to get out of hand.
A hungry mass is a lot more unpredictable than just like a bunch of people that are fat as shit after eating a ton of McDonald's that costs $1
right.
versus, of you know,
yeah.
it's the old thing that everybody talks about where it's like, you know, you know, to get vegetables, like to eat healthy, it costs $40 to get a fucking sandwich at McDonald's. It's like, and fries
so
and
cheap.
Ice cream, it's $5.
Yeah.
And that is, I think, a structural problem in America. I mean, my family's from Greece, and it's like, I go to Greece a lot. There are less fat people in Europe. There
right.
just are.
Yeah.
And I think, like, there's a lot of issues in America in terms of the food, like, how processed all our shit is. But also, like, you know, car companies completely fucked us. 60 years ago, even the cities that you think of now, like, it was crazy to me to find out that L.A. had an awesome public transit system in, like, the 20s
yeah.
and 10s
trolley
and trolleys and shit
and,
like
yeah.
that. And we got completely fucked by cars.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happened to America. It's a huge country, so it's, like, trains are harder to conceive of. But apparently, it was, like, public transit was so dense that you could almost go across the country riding public transit. And
right.
we feel like it's always been this way, but we just got completely fucked by very powerful, you know, special interests after World War II, whether it was like with all the processed food, all the, you know, all the cars and shit like that. If America was more walkable, if it was just like public transit, it's just like there's so many things that keep people unhealthy in this country. And also emotionally, I think like, I mean, I'm a city kid, don't get me wrong. I really like it. Some people might like the burbs more, but it's like, you're so alone in the suburbs.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't walk to anything. There's no community. There's no, and the food, I mean, sometimes the food can be good, but it's like, you got to drive to the fucking grocery store or you'll go to a drive-thru or now you can Uber Eats, whatever. And I just think like living that way is just, it's bad for you, man.
And a lot of the cities have just become basically gigantic suburbs. You know,
sure.
there'll be like a downtown hub, but really the only city I can think of, where you really don't need a car is New York.
Yeah, no,
every
true.
Other city you pretty much need a car.
It's true for sure. I mean, what I like on the road is I like to stay places like you find. There are walkable patches
sure.
of big cities, and you look around and you're like, "Why isn't this whole place like this?"
Yeah,
why is this like in Baltimore? There's a part of Southeast. I grew up in Southeast Baltimore, and there's a part of it that's like you can walk across. Three or four neighborhoods, whereas
yeah.
even the rest of Baltimore, not a big city, you can't do that. Bad public transit.
All right, fair enough.
You know,
no, I guess you're right. I think maybe the Northeast does it better because
Northeast because it's more compact
and
yes.
it's older. So
well, it's older and people. It used to hold more people.
Yeah,
there's a little bit with the American like West where it was like, well, we have a lot of space.
Right,
we
let's
might
spread
as well
it out.
Spread
yeah.
it. Texas too.
Everybody gets a backyard.
You know, and it's like, and I don't know. I just feel like. You know, that's a little further from like the whole health and nutrition conversation, but I do feel like that kind of like a walkable city with nice green spaces, a nice park that you want to walk to,
yeah.
Neighborhood grocery stores. Like I live in Queens and I am spoiled in terms of there's a produce market, there's a really nice like seafood market, there's a butcher, and you can get high quality shit, and I'm very lucky that I've been making a little money, and it's like I've just decided whatever high quality foods cost, they cost. I just have that's something I'm going to spend on,
yeah.
right? But even access to something that is like some people don't even have access to maybe splurge on really nice stuff. And then I go to the supermarket next to me and the food is horrible compared to all that shit. And I even Baltimore, you know, not a huge city, but when I'm home, they have like fancy grocery stores, but it's like you can't get the same shit and you certainly can't have enough like a lot of the times on days that I don't even work out, I'll just take really long walks in my neighborhood. And it's like, I can do like I can take a 4 mile walk just going around my neighborhood doing, you know, I walk to the park and then I come back, I stop at the produce market, I stop at the fucking fish market, I stop at the butcher and I've like run my errands and I've gotten healthy food. And it's like, you can't do that in fucking almost, I mean, maybe literally no other city in America. You can't do that other than like patches of certain ones. And even then it's like, even the bougie places now, it's all Whole Foods. You don't even have
the neighborhood. They tried to take all of that and put it into one building.
Yeah.
But that's basically what that store is.
Exactly.
They have the cheesemonger and the meat guy.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
But there's just something to, I don't know. There's something that feels a little old fashioned about that, but also just healthier, man. Just to get my groceries from three different stores on the same avenue.
Well, yeah, man. You know, I mean, I think the problem.
I've walked for like a half hour.
Yeah. The issue with Whole Foods is like you go in and it's like, everything's from somewhere else, basically, and not that your local butcher is going to have, you know, only locally sourced meat, but it is at least being thought of in that way, that like, this is what I have the best access to, not some gigantic corporation,
right,
who's making weird deals with countries to get first access at their butter or something like
that. And you're right, half of the shit at even the local butcher, the local seafood place, the produce market, who knows where it comes from, but a lot of it, like Long Island tomatoes, Long Island potato, like a lot of the produce is, and even the like the butcher, you can it's more expensive, like even, but it's like you at least have access to it, and it's like that's what everything used to be. And it just like, it just does feel sometimes when you really zoom out, you're like, fuck, we are really against so many structural forces,
right?
And it's just like that. And but then, you know, and that's something for like how you want your what society you want to live in. But then you have to also just look at yourself and be like, well, that is all true.
Yeah.
But it ain't changing in the next 10 years. And if I want to be healthier, how can I work within this system?
And I think that's the other thing. Like we have this kind of competing mindset truly today where it's like, the landscape is the landscape, right? It's getting harder. It's going to get harder because there's this idea of choice, right? Like, and for me, the idea of pure choice is like taking one thing into consideration, and that is hunger,
right?
And so there's a whole other very complicated pathway to putting food in your body, which is all about emotions and environment and stress.
Right.
And all of those things are not something that I can just always recognize that, oh, I'm doing this because, you know what I mean?
Sure, like, absolutely.
We're not exterior to it. Yeah. It's happening to us. Yeah. Our emotions are, it's just not always easy to put it together to go like, oh.
And even if you do put it together, who cares? It doesn't change it.
Right, exactly.
Now you just know about it, but you still have to figure it out within those.
So I think it's easy to go like, it's just a choice. But then I think the other side is just as devious, where it's like, it's difficult, so let's have a whole new way of thinking that it's completely, like, there's nothing wrong with it, right? You know, if you started to say, like, there's nothing wrong with drug addiction, part of me as a recovering drug addict would go, like, I don't think you should normalize this. Like, I don't think, because that, to me, only encourages people to not seek help.
Right.
You know what I mean? And people die from this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly think I'm kind of, in terms of how, like, my philosophy towards that stuff, and I think we're touching a little bit on, like, fat acceptance stuff and, like, even, like, you know, drug, you know, legalization and decriminalization and all that stuff. I certainly, I agree with what you're saying, but I also think, let's start with drugs and then get to the bad stuff. It's like, if ultimately what you want is less people to die from this stuff, then I think like regulating it and also making like having like, you know, like kind of what we're talking about in terms of we're talking about my diet on the road, I think it is a matter of harm reduction. Shit like this is never going to stop.
I totally agree.
So you have to, I think this stuff has to be legal and it has to be kind of like almost regulated, and you have to have people have resources to fix it. And the stigma, leaving the stigma from it, I think is a big part of that.
Yeah, I think I'm more just saying like, and look, I don't think there is anybody going like, it's okay to be a drug addict.
Right, right.
That's not happening. But I'm saying if it was a corollary, if we were going to go like, first we go like, but let's decriminalize right. it, certainly.
Right.
But if we got all the way to the point where it was like, being a junkie is fine.
Right.
Leave
I see
them
what you're
alone.
Saying. I see what you're saying.
It, you know, well, show
maybe,
them love.
Maybe not being a junkie, but maybe like fucking a guy who takes a couple oxys.
100%. You know what I mean? But you that's know? Like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that we're practically there.
Right, right, right.
I don't know. It just like. And again, I don't think we look at it the right way because, like, for the most part, I think it's really just looked down upon rather than understood.
Right.
Like a person who's a drug addict is going through something and just going like, "You're bad."
Right.
That doesn't help them.
Of course.
You know what I mean? Throwing them in jail doesn't help them.
There's other factors that all have to work in concert. And when it comes to like the fat acceptance stuff, it's like, I know I can only speak for myself, where it's like, I just want to feel better, yeah. right? Like, that's really it. And, like, I like my current body. I actually do, you know? Like, I'd like to maybe, truly, my absolute goal is, like, if I weighed 250, I would, that to me is, like, great. I don't need to fucking.
And just big arms.
And just big arms. Yeah. And that's it. Truly. It. Like, yeah. that's, that is not.
It's like video game boss.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, exactly. And it's, like, that's what I want to look like. And also health, right? Like. If I go to my doctor and he's like, at that health and I'm working out and whatever, now if he tells me to live longer, to be here for whatever, you should lose weight, fine, I'll do that, sure. right? But I do think it is very possible for certain people to like their bodies, be comfortable with them, and if they are healthy and if it's not, you know, affecting them negatively, yeah, like, I do think there is a little, like we're talking about, there is a stigma or like this, like, self-importance of not fat people where they get to just feel better than any fat person yes. when it's like, and I think that should go away right yeah. now. At the same time, I think plenty of people who talk about fat acceptance and preach that stuff, they have some underlying stuff that they should look at, right? Like,
yeah, no, you know? I totally agree with you, and especially on health. I forget what the exact metric is, but there's something like the biggest increase in or the biggest benefit to health comes with just 10% weight loss.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah.
So like if you go, I really want to lose 50 pounds. Okay. But the health benefits
right.
only going to come from when you lose 30. It's the next 20 isn't going to be as
right.
helpful to health.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's yeah, exactly.
So there's stuff like that where people are thinking in terms of just going like, that person's fat, they're unhealthy. It's like, okay, but if they lost just a little bit of weight, they would get as healthy as they could be.
And again, what the fuck is up with this? Now we're the fucking health police. Right. You're doing cocaine.
Yeah.
Some of the people that have been the harshest to me about my fucking weight are fucking coke heads that are skinny as fuck. They're more, I guarantee, there's plenty of people that are probably living a less healthy lifestyle. And it's like, there is this fake bullshit where people hide behind what is really fat phobia and yeah. call it now all of a sudden there. Now, if it was the healthiest guy you've ever met in your fucking life who eats fucking, well, you know, grass-fed beef and only once a week and has a fucking, you know, fresh diet of mostly fruits and vegetables, that guy, fine. You want to talk to me about my health?
But
you
those get guys sad? Are usually like, listen,
yeah.
I think you'd enjoy it more if you'd followed my example.
Totally.
You know what I mean? They're not the ones
They're
that
not
are
the
being
ones.
Dicks.
It's always, and that's why I'm, that's where I do, like, I do think there is room for more fat acceptance, but it's just like, it's everything else with like culture war stuff where the most extreme, people only focus on the most extreme examples and the yeah. most annoying people. So the same shit happens with like the trans debate or like anything like that, where it's like, at the end of the day, anybody who's a little different deserves dignity,
sure.
right?
Yeah.
And it's like everyone makes up these fake fucking bullshit. And the people that are the most anti-whatever, it's like they are compensating for something
yeah.
in themselves. And so, you know, and sure, there are we could easily look on the internet and find somebody who's probably unhealthy, who probably could, you know, who's like just a kind of annoying person in general,
right,
who wants it, who's also using this for attention, that's talking about fat acceptance, and it's easy to mock them. And that's, you know, some lady in San Francisco with the dumbest glasses you've ever seen right. in your life. And
blue
like,
hair, yeah.
yeah, exactly. It's like, yeah, we can find that person. But even that person, at the end, they're on to something. They're just being annoying about it.
This one got me today somehow. I saw, I don't know if it was Twitter, Instagram, or what, but it was a picture of a very large woman who I believe is a famous plus size model. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about her struggle with anorexia.
Mm.
And I was just like, what are we talking?
What the fuck is this?
You know what I mean? Like, that gal weighs 350 pounds.
She beat it.
This is not anorexia.
Right.
You know?
Oh, currently. She meant she currently has.
Yes. And it was just this weird.
You could have an eating disorder. Sure.
Of course. Yeah. But she's not underweight, which is like a big part of being anorexic.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it is. It's just the whole thing. It just gets a little obfuscated and things get a little too. And once anything becomes like. I think we do have a problem with, like, no one can really just discuss an issue really.
Yeah.
Everyone's worried about how they're going to be perceived and what team, you know, you think they think they're going to be placed on. You know, like, I think that's a big issue with, like, you know, it's like everyone's like, everything has become too simplified with, like, crazy left people and crazy fascists and all this shit. And it's like, most people are not like that, you know? And then it's like these issues, they're much more fucking nuanced than that too, where it's like, yeah, you might have these people, it's just like everyone's worried about being characterized, and no one will speak about any kind of issue like freely. And I do, it's funny that even fat shit has gotten to that point, which
everything.
Is because
you can't
like,
escape it, it's a black hole,
because everyone's
getting pulled in.
The irony is fucking I bet you a lot of the Trump base could deal with a little fat acceptance, you know.
Right,
what I mean? That's
exactly.
The great irony is like, it's like this thing of like, well, you know, these crazy liberals are talking about fat acceptance. It's like, I saw some of those Trump
you
rallies.
You guys might feel better if you just hugged each other and said it's okay.
You guys have a lot in common here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like you guys could really be friends talking about how much shittier some of your fucking, you know, some of your relatives have been about your weight.
Right.
Who are pieces of shit.
Yeah.
And just use it as
that's a good point. Like maybe, you know, the side that, I mean, because it is so prevalent now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's like no group that's really escaping it. There's going to be. And it's also technically contagious, right? So as it grows, it's going to just like, it's going to get everyone at some point. It's not. Who knows? But like, I personally believe that I don't think we succeed if we go into this. The way I felt about it for the longest time was I am incapable and I am damaged and I cannot succeed at that. And that made me feel bad. And so I think I just got trapped in this cycle of why start doing something I know I can't do, right? And it felt really bad. And so positive thinking and going like, no, I am capable. I am decent. I am worthy. I am going to do this. Actually worked better. So from a mindset point of view, I just think being positive towards yourself.
Yeah.
And if that means a little bit of self-love, that's a necessary step.
Totally.
So it's more beneficial in that sense. I just don't think that, you know, if we're teaching health that we say like, this is the epitome of health, because it's not, but neither smoking cigarettes, but also like neither's driving cars. We're flying on airplanes, getting hit with radiation
and,
on airplanes.
But that's exactly it. That's my biggest issue with it, is that it's just the most obvious. It's like we talk about being overweight, and it is, don't get me wrong, you know, you look at indicators, it's like, but it's the only thing that gets mentioned over and over and over and over again. No one talks about alcohol consumption, all that shit in the same breath. And I think that's the problem. And I think that is what, I don't know. I haven't really studied it that much because, again, my view of it is like, I fully believe if you feel good about yourself, and like, here's the other thing, it's like, if I just maintained and worked out and like ate good foods at this weight, it's like I could be healthier than I am now at this weight, right? And it's like, look, if some people want to do that, that's fine. And I think ultimately they just they deserve not to be like, you know, pure objects of scorn or whatever.
I totally
especially
agree.
From, and it's like, if you're going to do that, it's like, I want to see your fucking credentials. Yeah. I want to see your nutrition degree. Right. I want to hear, like, if you're just some fucking asshole who's like, oh, I feel really bad for him. It's like, that's so condescending. There's plenty of people who say that shit. It's like, don't feel bad for that, you know, for that person. And it's like, now maybe some of them are feeling bad. But again, if we really look into it, there's probably underlying things, just like with any addiction. And it's like, especially if somebody has like an eating disorder, it's like, where did that come from? What are they eat? Why are they? Because that's how it is with me, man. It's like, I do a bunch of drugs, but my biggest issue is food. And when I'm depressed, and it's like, deal with that first and foremost. Again, we just see, everyone just sees the fatness as the the biggest problem, but it's just, it's really not. It's just a, and the other thing that I think, because of like beauty standards that are harmful for a lot of people, it's like, people don't admit they want to fuck fat people.
Right.
Because they fucking do.
Yeah.
There's a lot, especially guys who want to pretend like they, like, you know, that they're just like, because so much of it is like proving that you can fuck a hot chick. It's not even about your actual enjoyment. You know, it's like proving that you're cool. Like, we still have that. Like, and so it's all intertwined where it's like this sexism makes guys who might just be attractive fat girls and who like won't, they might hook up with a girl who's like traditionally attractive and can't wait to send her Instagram to their friends, but they won't do the same thing with a chubby girl that they really really into, because they're like, well, they won't think I'm as cool for that. Yeah. And it's like, all this shit all this shit is so intertwined where it's like, dude, sometimes it's like, it's okay to like people of a different body type. That's, you know, so it's like, it's just such a, you're battling a lot of fucking shit. And I want to get healthier again, just to feel better.
Yeah. You know? And like, I'm jealous of anybody I ever see smoking cigarettes, like truly jealous, right?
Right.
Never once is my thought that person's unhealthy.
Exactly.
My thought is, but when I see people eating ice cream, I'm not jealous.
Mm.
And I, you know,
well, that's interesting because I am so jealous every time.
I guess I'm jealous when I see my wife or my kids eating it. But like, if I'm walking through a mall, I don't look at people. I might look at thin people and be jealous and think like, why do you get to eat that?
Interesting.
Right? But if it's anyone that looks like me or how I used to look, I'm not jealous. I'm just like, I know where you're at, brother. That's what I feel. But smoking cigarettes.
You know
cigarettes,
what? I'll give you that. I guess it depends on.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I mean, it's both for me, though, because I remember, I know where you're at, but also, like, that the moment that ice cream cone is being consumed,
oh
those
God,
moments,
so good. Whew, yeah,
that's what makes it all worth it. You know what I mean?
That's true.
That's the trade-off you're making.
Yeah.
But I know what you mean. I definitely have gotten that way. But it's, again, it's like, but when I see that, what makes me sad is if I see someone, like, who's going through it.
Yeah.
Like if I saw some guy, like, what I used to do was just, like, eat McDonald's on the way home, and it's like 1 a.m. I've been doing comedy. It's like when I'm in Baltimore, stop at a drive-thru, eat the McDonald's. I don't even have it in park. My foot's on the brake. I couldn't wait to get it in park. I was just like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, I feel bad for that. I feel bad the same way I would, like, the difference between a guy fucking doing a little bump of coke at a party and a guy who's smoking crack at a crack house.
Yeah.
The problem with food is you can get you can be, you can, it looks the same. We don't really know.
The version
of
us smoking crack, we can do
at a more
all day long.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And basically look the same as if we were just doing a bump of coke. No, 100%. It is a brutal. And then there's the fact that, like, I might have been talking about this too much lately, but, like, there is no point of commerce in America where there isn't food. It's fucking everywhere. You go into Best Buy to buy a camera and you're going to leave with snacks. You can't escape it. My wife was, I've said this 400 times because it's mind boggling. I was saying to her, like, that furniture store, super fancy furniture store, there was no food there. It's not all points of commerce. And my wife said, no, they serve me champagne and chocolate covered strawberries.
Hilarious.
Like, you can't fucking escape it. Like, you know, I just think, on one hand, cut people slack, and I think you're totally right.
I think it does have to be a slack thing. And if you don't if you're not cutting someone slack, it's like, are you trying to get to know them, or are you just judging them because of, and a lot of times weight gain is the symptom of something greater, something deeper, right? Like, it's the, so it's like, it's just
and
judgmental.
We just don't always take comfort, because for me, it's two parts. It's comfort and health. And there's a lot, like, people get piercings and tattoos and wear tight clothes, and women wear fucking high heels. What's comfortable about that? It's not always about comfort and health. And people smoke cigarettes and do drugs and drive too fast and don't wear seatbelts and don't wear helmets on motor. So it's, there's so many areas where everybody isn't going, like, I'm going to do everything that's the most health conscious and everything that's the most comfortable. And we don't all share it. Some of it's subjective.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
No, that's so funny, too, because you're so right about that. It's like, people put themselves in danger in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And it's funny to think about, like, a chubby chasing girl being like, watching me eat bacon, like she's watching her fucking, like another girl watches her boyfriend on a motorcycle doing a wheelie. She's like, oh, you don't even care about your cholesterol. you're such a rebel. It's like, that's your second serving of brisket. You know, and it's like, and I literally, it's so funny, I have dated a lot of girls who have the reverse eating disorder, and they're attracted to that, truly, in that way. With, like, he doesn't even give a fuck about this thing that controls me. And it's hilarious.
And
I mean,
you're like, you're right. Like,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah, it's a yin and yang
situation.
Some
of this will rub off on you. Stavi, thank you so much.
Of course,
this has been awesome.
Appreciate it. Yep.
Talk to you soon. And now for the Q&A.
Here's a question for you from Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Mark says, I have only recently found this podcast. I have lost a total of 120 pounds with nothing but diet and exercise.
That's awesome.
He says it has taken about 5 years to get there. Around year three, I had lost about 90 pounds and stalled. I got so anxious every time I cheated that I would immediately get sick and throw up. It was almost like an emotional bulimia. Have you ever heard of this or dealt with anything similar? He says, I'm getting better as I get closer to my goal, but it is still hard to let myself have my cheat meal to keep metabolism moving without getting anxious and feeling sick.
A couple things. I don't know that you need a cheat meal to keep your metabolism moving.
I was just going to ask you that, because that's, is that true?
No. You can't diet forever, and diet breaks are a good idea, but I don't think that a cheat meal really does the trick. If you're in a dietary state for 6 days a week, and the cheat meal isn't utterly wiping out your progress on your diet for those 6 days, then you are still net in a dietary state. So all of the effects that you're trying to counterbalance with a cheat meal aren't going to be counterbalanced until you actually leave that state of restriction for a period of time. Like, the body doesn't settle down with one meal. You know, if you're basically starving the body over a long period of time, and its weight is going down and down and down and down, one meal doesn't reset all of the entire endocrine system that is creating more hunger, holding on to the stored fat more. That's not all wiped out with a meal. You need a period of maintenance time where the body can chill out and go like, oh, we're not starving right now. We can relax on the production of ghrelin. We can not withhold, you know, our this person's instinct to be active, you know, because all of that, the body will shut down those systems when it thinks it's starving to death. And one meal isn't going to turn that off and spike it and make it fast. It happens over a long period of time. So that's number one. Number two, I never once felt nauseous and almost and vomited emotionally. No, I have certainly had regrettable meals and thought about vomiting and thought that that was a fairly reasonable solution in the state I was in. But I don't think that that's true. And but I've never just it's never come over me. Has it ever come over you, Paige?
No, I've certainly felt terrible emotionally and physically eating something, you know, but no, I haven't had that. But that's, I mean, that's interesting. Yeah, I haven't had that. But I understand the anxiety of, like, you know, what Mark is describing of, you know, there's a nervousness that comes along with eating something. If you have a propensity towards overeating, or if you were overweight and you just lost weight, and then you're eating something that's off of what seems to be your weight loss plan, you know, I get what that, how that would happen. But it, so that's why I'm glad you answered to this point that maybe there's a misunderstanding that he has to have a cheat meal in order to, you know, have some.
Yeah. If you look at the month and if your weight is down for the month, then you have not given your body a significant enough rest to recover from what dieting does to tax the taxes that dieting extols on your body. So the body is going to be suffering when it's in a restrictive state like that. And one meal doesn't change that. You have to actually, like, give it time, not being pressurized to recover. And that takes, it just takes time. And so, you know, I'm not saying you can't have your cheat meals, but, like, don't have them thinking you're solving something you're not solving.
Yeah, that's a great point. And also, you know, you have a few different episodes in the, you know, back catalog of American Glutton where you talk about diet breaks and, you know, cause he mentions getting stalled, right? So that's also a great resource too. It's just that, because that's like, I mean, that was such news to me. And I know so many people wrote in about those and just how much they got out of those episodes. So I would say to Mark, maybe try to, you know, listen into some of that as well. But definitely,
yeah,
let
I
us
think
know.
The idea he's putting forward is a real concern, because your body is going to start to fight you. It is going to become harder and harder to lose weight. Plus, the more weight you lose, the longer you've spent dieting, the more you have to restrict energy. So the bigger of a deficit you have to go into. You can basically turn all of that off with a diet break, but you cannot turn that off with one meal.
Right.
So if you're trying to, you might just be, you know, making whatever diet you're on take longer.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, well, thank you for that answer, Mark. Thank you for the question. If anyone else out there has a question they would like for Ethan to answer on this podcast, please email it to us at americanglutton.net.
Thanks for listening to this episode of American Glutton. I'm Ethan Suplee. You can follow us on Instagram at American Glutton Podcast. Sincerely.